The Word of God tells us in Romans the 15th chapter and verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might find hope. The Word of God was written. It was written for our learnings. So what do we learn about sin from the Word of God? John said in chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. I've heard many try to explain what sin is. They come up with phrases like missing the mark. But the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And here we're talking about the law of God. So how do the children of God, men and women who have been called by the Master, how do they get tangled up in sin? Does it reach out and grab them, pull them in? Does sin kidnap them? Or do we, as children of God, put ourselves in positions and circumstances where we, out of our own desires, commit sin? We are tempted, the Bible tells us, when we are drawn aside by our own desires. So what do we learn from the things that were written aforetime? Things that were for our learning. We learn that sin is a disease that's far worse than cancer. Sin is a disease that will destroy the soul, not only the body. You remember yesterday when I told you about Samson and how that he went down to the land of the Philistines. He looked around. He liked what he saw. And he kept going back time and again, flirting with sin, flirting with the things that would tempt him to do wrong. Samson continuously allowed himself to be lured and enticed by the godless culture around him. He fell in love with a Philistine woman who, the Bible says, pleased him well, and he married her. But that relationship had many problems. She ended up with his best friend. And then he went to Gaza, where he spent time with a prostitute, forsaking all of his work back in Israel. You know, he was ordained of God to be the judge of Israel. But instead of being in Israel judging the nation, instead of being about the Father's business, he took off time off to go down to another country. And it was in that country that he was tempted by the things that were there. It was a godless country. It was a country that didn't worship his God. So instead of being back home doing what God had ordained him to do, he took off way too much time to travel down to another country. And there he got involved with things that would be his downfall. Oh, I know what you're saying. We all need that personal time for R&R. But friend, I have no personal time. Let me tell you what Prince William told a reporter here in America. The reporter asked Prince William, said, "What do you do on your personal time?" Prince William looked at the reporter and said, "I have no personal time. My whole life, every minute of every day of my life is spent in preparing for that which I have been born to do." Friend, we have no personal time. We are not our own. We have been bought by a price. We are His. We are not our own. Jesus had no time off, no personal time. He did indeed take time to rest, but He was aware that He was resting on the Father's time, and He treated it as such. Remember, when you are at rest, you are resting on the Master's time. Make your rest short and sweet, because you are never off the clock. Supposing Jesus had some personal time, you remember what Jesus did in the night time. A lot of those nights were spent in prayer, and then there was the night that he entertained Nicodemus and told him that he must be born again. And then there was the night that he walked on the stormy, rough sea to rescue his disciples. Supposing Jesus had been off the clock that night, what would have happened to those disciples? My friend, as a servant of the King of Kings, we have no personal time. All of our days and all of our nights are supposed to be dedicated to His service. Jesus was never off the clock. There was never a time that you could have come to Him and He'd have told you to come back during office hours. And friend, we're never off the clock. As a Christian, as a church member, as a child of the King, we're always on God's time. Let us value the times that we spend resting, and let us be quick to get back to the service of the King. Remember, you're never off the clock. This is a lesson that Samson never learned. He felt that he was his own man. After all, he was the judge of the whole nation of Israel. Why could he not do as he wished? So finally, he met and fell in love with Delilah, a woman in the Valley of Sorek. Where was the Valley of Sorek? It went down from Jerusalem right to the land of the Philistines. Not only that, it was wine country. Wine and women were a bad combination for Samson. He should have never ventured near that valley because he was unable to handle those temptations. In his arrogance and misplaced self-confidence, he believed that there was nothing that he could not overcome. But Samson didn't reckon with Delilah and with the weakness of his character and the deceitfulness of his own heart. The Bible tells me that the heart is deceitful. The heart will lead you astray. You may think that this flirtation will never affect you. You may feel that you're strong in the Lord, strong in the Word, and that you're able to overcome any temptation that the devil will bring your way. The Bible tells me that let a man take heed when he thinks he stands, lest he fall. Well, the old clock on the wall has caught up with me. I'm going to be speaking on this same subject for at least through Thursday and possibly Friday. So I want you to tune in tomorrow.